Well, have y'all ever heard that saying, haters gonna hate? Y'all ever heard that? Haters gonna hate, right? Well, I looked it up, where to come from, so I go to the Urban Dictionary. I don't recommend always going to the Urban Dictionary. Some of the language in there isn't really family-friendly, but figuring this is an urban term, I looked in the Urban Dictionary, and it says that it's a colloquial saying that basically means this. Haters gonna hate means people who don't like you will always find a reason to dislike you, no matter how stupid that reason may be. That's a quote from the Urban Dictionary. People who don't like you are always going to find a reason to hate on you, no matter how stupid that reason is, because haters going to hate. In the fall of 2020, I had a protester show up early every Sunday morning out front of the church, and she had signs and even a megaphone from time to time, and some of you might have been verbally accosted by her as you were coming to church just looking to praise Jesus, and you heard all these things about your pastor and how horrible I am and how, anyway, haters gonna hate, folks. Haters are gonna hate. And we live in a world that's filled with hate, that's filled with division, that's filled with discord. Just open up your eyes. I mean, obviously, turn on the news. It's a circus of hate out there. But today, people think that they're justified to hate. People think that it's like a national pastime. It's becoming, actually. People think that they're justified to hate their political opponents. Like Republicans are justified to hate Democrats. Democrats are justified to hate Republicans. We got to hate each other. It's just how it's supposed to be. Some pro-choice people hate pro-life people. And some pro-choice people really hate the six Supreme Court justices who just overturned Roe v. Wade. Again, thank you, Lord, for that. That's just a miracle. I'm still blown away by it. I think I just posted something recently. I said, it's still overturned. I'm still just wow about that. But haters are going to hate. Even if babies' lives are being saved and abortion clinics are being closed down, there's still haters, and haters are going to hate. Real Phoenix Suns fans hate the L.A. Lakers. Amen. I got a lot of amens on that one. That was a joke, by the way. Kind of. I'm a real Phoenix Suns fan, so. Some people in this world even hate God. They even hate God. Haters are going to hate. That's the way of the world. But here's what we know. Christians got to love. Haters going to hate, but Christians got to love. That's the title of today's message. Haters are going to hate, but Christians, Jesus followers, born again in Christ Jesus, who've been redeemed, who've been forgiven by no act of our own, but only by the work and the grace of Jesus, Christians got to love. So in this hate-filled world, this world where we've watched cities burning because of hate, where we've watched as children have been killed in their classrooms and schools, where pregnancy care centers have been vandalized, even torched and burned, where there's been an attempted assassination of a Supreme Court justice just in the past couple weeks. Haters are going to hate, but we as the church of the body of Christ, we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have to inject this powerful thing into the whole equation, and that's called love. That's what we have to bring, that we must bring to the table for such a time as this. Christians got to love. And I know it's easier to hate. It's easier to throw mud. It's easier to call people names. It's easier to write people off. Believe me, I know that. It's easier to do that. But we're not called to easy. We're called to love. Christians got to love. We can condemn the violence, though, and I want to be clear about a few things before I go forward here in this message. We got to love, but we can still condemn violence. Love isn't just anything goes. That's not love. If you're a parent, you understand that. That's not love. So we can still condemn the violence, and we should take action. I'll even say this. We should take action to protect ourselves against haters, against evil, against harm. And we must continue to speak truth. Oh, but they tell me when I speak that truth, when I share what God has to say about something, that I'm hating on them. That's not hate. They're twisted in their thinking. They don't understand that's love. This is love. This is love. What God has to say is love. The rebuke from the Lord is love. Truth is love. We got to be who we are. We got to continue to say what we know and continue to give what we have. Haters going to hate. Christians got to love. But we got to just show up and be who we are. And we got to say what we know. We don't go along to get along. That's not love. But when we give them what we have, we are going to give them love. It's going to all be wrapped up in one. I believe that Jesus wants us, and I think this is an amazing time of history. Heard somebody talking about in our time of Thanksgiving, they were just so grateful for everything that's gone on in the Supreme Court and the decisions that have come down for freedom, for life, religious freedom, on and on. And we thank God for that. And we think, wow, man, the train is moving down the tracks and things are good. I'm going to tell you right now, what this means is now more than ever, we have an opportunity to show love. We do. All right, let's go to the Word here. This is the words of Jesus. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount. Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43. Jesus talking. Jesus is saying, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, who's telling us? Jesus. God. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun, S-U-N in this case, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? By the way, those were the dirtiest, rotten scoundrels of the time, right? And in many ways, they still are. But anyway, that's another thing. Not the individual person who just works for the IRS who's caught up in that machine. But anyway, I digress. If you love those who love you, verse 46, let's go back to that. What reward did you get? Not even the tax collectors. Aren't they even doing that? And if you greet only your brother, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? And then Jesus says this, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So again, haters are going to hate. Haters are going to hate, but Christians, folks, we got to love. And God's heart is not just to love those who are easy to love. All right, I'm going to do this. I can't resist. Just look to the person next to you and say, you're easy to love. You are precious and you are easy to love. Amen. Somebody was kissing even. That was great. They're married, by the way, so I saw that. I checked it out really quick. Very quick discernment. Making sure everything is in order here in the house of the Lord. But God's heart is not for us just to love those who are easy to love. We are called to love all, even those who are really, really hard to love. And don't look to the person next to you and tell them that they're hard to love, all right? This is not the time and place for that. We're even told to love our enemies, the haters. But who's our enemy? Let's look at that a little bit. We're gonna apply what Jesus is saying even to present day. Let's look at this. Who are our enemies that we're supposed to love? Well, from the context that Jesus is presenting here, from his words, we see that an enemy is a broad range of what an enemy can be. Somebody who's majorly done you wrong, to somebody who's just maybe done a minor offense against you, or maybe somebody who just doesn't even care about the fact that you even exist. Who is our enemy? So we're going to start with the most severe of the enemy, and we'll get better from there. You know what I'm saying? What do you want, the bad news or the good news? We're going to start with the bad news. Who's our enemy? First of all, we see that Jesus talks about those who persecute us. That's our enemy. Verse 44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who do what? Persecute you. So what does it mean to be persecuted? What does it mean if somebody's persecuting you? Again, I don't just make up definitions, I look them up. I let somebody else just make them up, and then I just repeat them. But anyway, persecute means to pursue with harmful intentions. Persecute. It means to harass, to punish in a manner designed to injure, to grieve, or to afflict. Specifically, to cause somebody to suffer because of their belief. So Jesus is telling us the people that are doing this kind of stuff to us, they're our enemy, but we're supposed to love them. And everything in my flesh says, no way. No way. I want to punch him in the face. Justice Kavanaugh had a man at his house with the intent to assassinate him. I know that didn't make much of the news, but it's still unbelievable. Somebody showed up at a Supreme Court justice's house, all the tools, all the plans to assassinate a Supreme Court justice. That would be an example of somebody there to persecute him, to do him severe harm because of his beliefs. Employees and volunteers at pregnancy care centers, ever since the Roe v. Wade overturning was leaked, and up to now even, they are in a place where they are being persecuted. They're experiencing terror, many of them. We were there, we were at the local pregnancy care center just across the highway in Mesa, the Wednesday before the Friday that the decision came out. I mean, it was almost like they were on lockdown. And every car that came by, they have security, they have all this kind of stuff. I mean, but it was heightened because there was this persecution, there was this hatred, this desire to do them injury that had already been acted out in many other pregnancy care centers around the nation and is even still being acted out today. So I want to encourage you, pray for the pregnancy care centers in our community and around this nation right now. These are good people, typically Christians, typically staffed by the church, the local body of Christ, that are there just to serve women in their time of need and unborn in their time of need, to love them, to care for them. Remember my mother-in-law when she was, Carol was a counselor at one of the local CPCs. The love of Christ that's brought to these women, she's led so many young ladies to Jesus in that time of crisis. That's what's going on in these crisis pregnancy care centers. But they're being persecuted. Haters are going to hate. For the unborn, the enemy, the haters have been the abortionists, literally taking their innocent lives. Christians around the world have been experiencing extreme persecution from their enemies, from the haters, ever since the beginning of the church. This stuff's been going on. But look at this. Just in the last year, I did my homework here. There have been this over, just in 2021, we're looking at the stats right here. Over 360 million Christians are living in places where they experience high levels of persecution and discrimination. That's why we need to thank God for the freedom and what we have even here in this nation. 360 million Christian brothers and sisters that don't have what you have. But they're following Jesus in the middle of it all. 5,898 Christians last year killed for their faith. Not just because they're in a car accident or something else happened to them because we live in a broken world, but specifically because you are a Christian, I'm killing you. 5,898. 5,110 churches and other Christian buildings were attacked in 2021. Yet here we are, worshiping in peace. 4,765 believers were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned in other countries because they are Christians. That's why. Not because they did anything wrong, but because of their faith. That's persecution. That's persecution. Jesus says, love them. Those persecuting you in this way, they're wrong. Yes, they're wrong. They should stop. Yes, they should stop. It's evil, yes. But Jesus says, love them. Folks, you can't do that in your own strength. You can't do that out of your flesh. Somebody does any of this stuff to my family member, my flesh is not going to love them. But Jesus calls his followers to something greater. If they beat you, love them. If they kill you, love them. If they destroy your home, love them. Love your enemies. And again, it's only by God's grace that this is possible. But it is possible. And so I'm going to say it again. Christians got to love. And I know you're thinking, but it's easier to hate. But Christians got to love. I want to be clear about this. Loving those who persecute, physically, or abusing you, hurting you, killing you, doesn't mean that we're supposed to just not protect ourselves, that we're not supposed to protect our loved ones or our neighbors. I want to say this very clearly. We can do both and. We can love the person and protect ourselves against them and the evil that they want to do against us at the same time. It's not one or the other. We can do both. As Christians, we're not called to just be doormats to the random evil that's in the world around us. We're not. I'm a Christian. Walk all over me. I'm a Christian. Abuse my wife or something like that. I won't use the word, but you know what I'm talking about. No. We can protect ourselves. We can deal with evil. And at the same time, love the persecutor. Can't do it in your own strength. You're trying to put two and two together on this. You're thinking it's not fitting. It's not fitting. You've got to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh in this. We got to let God do what we can't do. Take his places we can't go. All right, let's look at the other enemy. The other enemy, the other hater is those who oppose us. So you got those who persecute us. Jesus talks about that. You got to love those who persecute us. And then he talks about those who oppose us. This is less dramatic ways of persecution. Matthew 5:45, the second half of that, says, but God causes his sun, the sunshine, to rise on the evil and the good. Both kinds of people, right? And he sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. This is a picture of the overflow of common grace. Just the common grace of God that he has for all. Whether you're righteous or not, whether you're worthy or not worthy. Just God's goodness, his common grace that he shows his creation, mankind. But the evil and the unrighteous, they're the people who defy the laws of God. Let me say it again. Who are these who oppose us? Those who oppose us, the way Jesus is framing it, are those who oppose God. Why? Because we have a new identity now. We are Christians, little Christ. We identify now with the Lord. And so those who oppose us are ultimately, and first and foremost, those who are opposing God. They resist His will. They don't submit to His authority. What does that look like in our world today? Who are those who are opposing us? Well, it's those who are opposing God. So who might that be? I would say the pro-choice, the pro-abortion movement would be some of the haters, some of the enemies that we're called to love, but they're opposing us because they're opposing God. That's the only reason. See, if we weren't in Christ Jesus, if our hearts weren't changed, if we weren't walking to the beat of a new drummer, the Lord now, then they wouldn't be in opposition to us because we'd be in the same place we were before, in the flesh, lost in our sin, totally clueless and careless about any of this kind of stuff. But why does this oppose us? Why does abortion, why is it so offensive to us, in such opposition to us? It's because it opposes God. It opposes His way and His will. That's why. Gender dysphoria, perversion, grooming our children into those dysfunctional lifestyles. Why is that so? Why do we so oppose that? Why does something rise up in us? Because it opposes God. It opposes what He's created, who He's knit together in their mother's womb. It opposes the will of God, the way of God, the heart of God, the creation of God. That's why we're opposed, or it's opposed to us. That's the reason. Those who mock God and tell us to remain silent whenever we mention the name Jesus, they oppose me because and they won't let me pray. Well, they're opposing God. They're so offended by the name of Jesus. And the reason you're experiencing the opposition is because you're coming in His name and you're bringing His name. That's why we feel this kind of opposition. It's not about you. You're dead, right? The old man dead and buried. We're alive in Christ Jesus now. So the opposition that we experience is an opposition to God, to who He is, to His will and to His way. The lady who protested me for months, she was really opposing God and His principles. She wasn't opposing me. That's why it didn't ruffle me, really. That's why I told you, don't worry about her. Just drive by her and pray for her as you're going by. Give her a smile. We don't need to confront. We don't need to do that. She's opposing God, and she's not going to be able to stand against that. It wasn't about me. See, those who oppose God, they oppose us, yet God loves them. And He calls us to love people who are against us, to love people who oppose our convictions, love people who oppose our way of living for God. Don't hate them. Don't do what they're doing, but love them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He did this while we were still in, yet while we were still in our sins, Christ died for us. These people are in their sin. They're consumed by their flesh and sin and brokenness. Yet Christ died for them. Sacrificed for them. Now they need to receive that in order to be redeemed. Is saved and transformed. He loved them. We're to be like Jesus. Christians gotta love. Christians gotta love. It's hard. I know. Believe me, I'm a passionate guy. I'm a fighter. Not like a boxer kind of fighter, but just in life. You know, I mean, I like to win. It's got me in a lot of trouble. Got me in trouble the first year I was married with Velvet. I was a little too aggressive on winning and always wanting to, you know, that, not hit, not, don't get what I'm not saying, but, you know, like we have a water fight and I'm going to have the last word on the water fight. She hits me with a little spray. I'm going to pour a bucket. It was not a good thing. Don't do that to your wife. But I like to win. And I'm a little aggressive at times with things, and that's why self-control is an important fruit of the Spirit. So it's hard to not react in the flesh to those who oppose us. And it's hard to choose love over hate. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. It wasn't easy for him. It's not going to be easy for us. But he's given us all we need for this kind of life and for godliness. In Christ Jesus, you have all you need to love those who oppose you. I didn't say you have all you need just to be a doormat. I'm not talking about us being doormats. Just taking it in that way. On more of a personal note, the enemy might be a rebellious child, somebody who opposes you. That enemy, that one in opposition, might just be an uncaring, ill-tempered husband. I know we don't have any of those in this church, but it might be. That might be the enemy. That might be the one who is opposing you, who's not loving you as Christ loves the church. The enemy might be a cantankerous neighbor who you just can't stand them. The way they treat you. We're called to love. Not easy, but it's a call of Christ on our lives. Jesus says, love them. You don't have to agree with them, but you can still love them. All right, number three, the other kind of person, the other kind of enemy. Jesus called these people enemies. That's a strong word. So he's not sugarcoating anything here. He's like, I understand, these people are enemies. These people are haters. It's not easy to do this. So he's not sugarcoating it. But he says the other ones are this. Remember, we're kind of going from the worst down to the easiest, supposedly the easiest. These are the people who are just indifferent to you. That's the third one. Third category of people who be our enemies or the haters. Matthew 5:46, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. Jesus says, if you just love those who love you, you're not loving in the way I'm really commanded you to love. If you just love people who are easy to love, who love you. Verse 47, if you greet your brother only, you're not loving in the way I just commanded you to love. In other words, we're called to love those who can't do anything for us. We got to love those who are outside of our family. We got to love those who are outside of our church. We got to love those who are outside of our faith. We got to love those who are outside of our, I know this is a big one here, but we got to love those who are outside of our political party. We do. Christians got to love. But how do we show this kind of love? That's where I want to spend the last part of our time here. This morning, how do we show the kind of love that Jesus is talking about? What does it look like? How do we love the haters? How do we love our enemy? How do we love those who are indifferent to us? How do we love those who oppose us? How do we even love those who persecute us, who just do us wrong? How do we do this impossible thing? The first thing, it starts very simple. We greet them. Well, that's pretty easy, isn't it? I think it's something we can all do. We say hi to them. In verse 47, this is what Jesus says. If you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? So in that statement, Jesus is calling us to greet those who are not our brothers in Christ, those who are not in the same political party, those who are not on the same page as us, those who oppose us, those who even persecute us. We're called to greet them. And as far as I know, greet means, like, acknowledge them. Say hi to them. Recognize that they are a person. That Christ loves them. Went to the cross for them. Shed his blood for them. And we look at them in that way. Not with disdain, but with love. And we say, hi. Good morning. I know it sounds insignificant. You know, there are some people, and this is, some people have testified that they were prepared to commit suicide. But because somebody acknowledged them that day and just looked them in the eye with a little bit of care and greeted them like a person, it totally changed their perspective and their plans. It's not insignificant. It's not. We greet them. It starts with something simple. And when I say greet, the picture I get is you're acknowledging them. You're acknowledging them. That's what a greeting is. What's the other way that we show this kind of love to our enemy like Jesus saw? Well, we help them. We help people. We help by practically meeting their practical needs. Check this out. This is in verse 45 of Matthew 5. God causes his sun, S-U-N, the sunshine. You need sun for life, don't you? For sustenance, for things to grow. God causes that sun to rise on the evil and the good. God doesn't withhold it from the evil person. That's what I was talking about, common grace. It's just this common grace that God gives his creation to mankind. God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain. We got to have rain for life. He sends sustenance to the righteous and to the unrighteous. Sunshine, rain, two things that we need, two practical, very practical things that we need for life. Without either one of those, we die. And what I see here is God showing us a picture of how to love by even though they're enemies, even though they're not following or on the same page that we are, we still show them the basic care and love that any person should have. I mean, think about it this practically. When we do homeless ministry here at the church, we don't screen everybody before they come here. Are you a believer? Are you righteous or unrighteous? Because that's going to make a difference. Are you evil or are you good? Because if you're good, we're going to take care of you. But if you're evil, no food for you. No soup for you. Things come out. I'm sorry about that. No. How do we love people? How's God telling us to love people? Well, we look at them, we acknowledge them, we greet them, and then we care for them because God cares for them. We care. This is the kind of thing that Paul had in mind when he said this. It's found in Romans 12, beginning of verse 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And then check this out. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Loving our enemies, it continues with practical help, acts of helpfulness in the ordinary things of life. So I was reading this morning, and I saw this little statement about Abraham Lincoln that relates to this, you know, about our enemy and how do we win over an enemy. Check this out. During the Civil War, a woman who was a staunch supporter of the Union once criticized Abraham Lincoln for speaking too kindly about the southern states. The woman said he should focus on destroying his enemies instead of being nice. Lincoln responded, quote, "Why, madam, do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" That's profound. I know it sounds simple, but that's profound. Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? This is the kind of love. This is the kind of response to our enemy that Jesus is talking about here. That Paul is talking about here in Romans 12. When we love our enemy, often they become our friend. It's pretty amazing. That's the way of God. Not the way of this world. Not the way of this world, but that's God's way. Number three, what do? We pray for them. The third way that we love our enemy is we pray for them. Somebody mentioned earlier about, it's Pastor Phil, just about how we need to continue to pray for our elected officials, whether they oppose you or not. Whether you're in agreement with them or not. Whether you consider them your friend or your enemy, we pray for our enemies. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And that's the most intense kind of enemy that he was talking about here in this passage, the persecutors. Pray for those who persecute you. Praying for our enemies, it's the deepest form of love, I believe, because what it does is we're asking God for something good to happen to that person. Don't give me that thing, well, I prayed for my enemy. I asked God to open up heaven and fire to come down and just consume them. I prayed for my enemy. You think that's the kind of prayer Jesus is talking about here when he says pray for those who persecute you? I don't think so. I don't think so. I know so. That's not the kind. When we pray for somebody, we're actually interceding for them. We're the royal priesthood here. And we become intercessors, and we start interceding for their good. That doesn't mean, oh, God, bless them and just make their life easy and everything. No, their good is more than likely that they would repent, that they would find what we have found, and that's the grace of Jesus Christ that saves us, that transforms us, that causes the old nature to fall off and to become dead, and the new nature in Christ Jesus to come alive in us. That's ultimately what we want for every person, friend or foe. So we pray. You know, when I pray for elected officials down at the Capitol, on a trade delegation, wherever it may be, and I get opportunities to pray for elected officials, you know, the tendency is just to get up there, Lord, I just ask you to bless, 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 right? And I'm going to pray blessings over them. I'm going to pray blessings over their marriage, over their family. But I'm also going to pray for something else good for them, that they would come alive to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would understand the love of God, that they would... We got to pray for our enemies in that kind of way. I love it how Lincoln said it. I destroy my enemies by making them my friends. We're in a spiritual battle. We battle, the scripture says, Ephesians, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and forces of darkness. It's evil age, right? That's what our battle is. It's not against that person. They're wrapped up in the very same thing that you were wrapped up in before Christ, and that is sin, depravity, lost. They need what you have. We win when that person comes out of darkness into the light of Christ Jesus. That's what victory looks like. Not that we had some quip that we came back with and put them in their place, you know, logically and with this argument and this kind of thing, and we told them what's what and all that. That's not the win. The win is salvation in Christ. Out of darkness into the light of Christ Jesus. So we love even our enemy with that goal, that hope, and that prayer in mind. That's the heart of God. It's what Jesus said. He said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. They're crucifying him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's the heart of God. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Our hearts should want their salvation. Our hearts should want their presence in heaven. Our hearts should even want them to experience eternal happiness that's found in Christ. Our hearts should want Jesus to receive the reward of his suffering. So I'm going to end with this. Haters going to hate. It's okay. It's just a little sound. Just turn me up. It's waking some of the folks up in here. Thanks, Jordan. So haters going to hate. But Christians, we got to love. Only in Christ can we do this. We got to fight against the flesh that wants to take the easy route. And we got to choose love. But when we walk by the Spirit, and I preached on that recently, I think about a month, maybe a month and a half ago, about walking by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, this becomes possible, and it becomes a reality. It's amazing what happens when we let go and we let God actually run our lives. It's amazing where we can go, what we can do, and how we can love. I want to end with this short story here. There was an Armenian nurse who had been held captive along with her brother by the Turks. Her brother was slain by a Turkish soldier right before her eyes, right in front of her. Somehow she escaped, but later she became a nurse in a military hospital. And check out what happened. One day she was stunned to find that the same man who had killed her brother had been captured and brought wounded to the hospital where she was working. Great opportunity for vengeance, isn't it? Something within her cried out, vengeance. Vengeance. But a stronger voice cried out for her to love. So she actually chose love, and she nursed that man who had killed her brother, nursed him back to health. Finally, the recuperating soldier asked, "Why didn't you let me die?" Her answer was, "I'm a follower of him who said, 'Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you.'" We can choose this way of living. In this crazy time that we live in, that's division and hatred and discord and us versus them and opposition and even persecution and craziness on social media, whatever it might be, we have an opportunity to love our enemy. And in doing so, I believe some will become our friend. And ultimately, the gospel will go forth. The world will see God's way and God's love in action in and through his church. That's what this world needs right now. They need something different than what this world offers. They need the Lord. They need the gospel. Haters going to hate, but Christians got to love. I want to close with this. Even now, just even close your eyes for a moment. I want you just to allow the Holy Spirit to bring to mind somebody in your life that you're convicted to show love to, that you just need to show some love to right now. It could be a persecutor. It could be somebody just opposes you. It could be somebody indifferent to you. It could be somebody close to you. It could be somebody far from you. Who is somebody you feel convicted to show love to right now? Ask the Lord to give you some ideas, even right now, of how and when are you going to do this. Getting practical, getting intentional right now. And now I want to do this before we close. Just you right now before the Lord, just begin to pray for that person. Just begin to pray for them even right now. Amen. I know that was a fairly quick moment there, but I'm confident that many of you are going to take what God did in that moment and put feet to it and take action on it and show love to somebody you consider an enemy. Let's see what God's going to do with that. I know this, He's going to be glorified in it. He will.